Let the band play.
Baby, lately I've been going crazy. I've been going crazy lately. I've been going crazy, crazy. Yeah, I've been going crazy, crazy. Yeah, yeah. I've been getting paper, paper. Made a hole in without a motherfucking major label. Yeah, they like clock, you major. I just set a new set of poles on a new
station. Alrighty, welcome back to the Future of NFT Podcast, the most efficient and realest podcast in the NFT world. I'm your host, Jared. Today we are talking about movie NFTs with Mr. Ashley Scott Myers from the Rideshare Killer. This is an interesting episode. I really want to hear your thoughts, your opinions, your takes, your hot takes on this episode. And let me know what you want to hear about next. Let's get straight into it. Alrighty, we can go ahead and get started. So today we have Mr. Ashley Myers. Mr. Ashley, if you don't mind just giving yourself a quick introduction, we'll go ahead and get started.
Yeah, perfect. Well, thank you for having me on, Jared. So I'm a writer, a screenwriter, and a director. I've made a few films over the last couple of decades, and my most recent film is a horror film called The Rideshare Killer. We have Academy Award nominated actor Eric Roberts in our film, and just as sort of a proof of concept project, we decided to take every frame of that film and turn it into an NFT on the Polygon blockchain. And it's a lot of frames. I mean, the film was shot at 24 frames per second. It's an 84-minute film. So it's literally 119,170 individual NFTs, which we've minted. And as I said, we've put them all on the Polygon blockchain, and they're available on Rarible.
Awesome. All right. So actually, I kind of want to take it back just a little bit. So sure. When you're in college, maybe coming out of high school, like what did you want to be? Like, what was your, like, did you know you wanted to be a screenwriter? Like how did that work out for you?
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, let's go back there. So I grew up in Annapolis, Maryland. I think it's probably very typical to a lot of towns in America. There was no real art scene or film scene or anything like that. Just really just me and my brother and some of our friends, we just love movies. So I just always sort of followed movies, was into movies, and just always sort of dreamed of being a screenwriter. But I went to college and I had no real idea about how to actually execute on that dream. And so I played tennis and I joined the tennis team in college. And there was a couple of guys on the tennis team that were seniors and they were accounting majors. And so I didn't have any idea, you know, whatever, 18, 19 years old, you don't really have any idea what you're doing. So I said, okay, I'll be an accounting major. And by the time I got done the 4-year degree, I knew accounting probably wasn't going to be a good fit for me. But during those 4 years, I came across a book, and I think it's still around, called Writer's Market. And inside this book, it's by Writer's Digest. And it was literally, I think it's called Writer's Market. And inside there was a section on screenplay writing. And there was maybe 50 production companies that would supposedly take submissions from, you know, new writers. So I wrote up a couple of pages of script and just sent them out. And, you know, they were terrible. I didn't know what I was doing. I got, you know, rejections from them, but it sort of got me started. And then I graduated from college, again, really with no idea what I wanted to do, other than just sort of pursuing this crazy dream of being a screenwriter. So me and a buddy of mine, we just threw everything in a 1958 Ford pickup truck and just drove out to Los Angeles, found an apartment, started working. And I just kept writing scripts, trying to figure it out. And actually the first script that I sold was a script called Dish Dogs. And that one was co-written with this same friend of mine, that I went to college with, and we drove out here. So it was a great sort of start into the entertainment industry. It was a low budget, you know, indie comedy back in the 90s. And you sort of got my career started, at least sort of gave me a taste of the industry. And that was sort of my, you know, sort of first foray into professional screenwriting.
Interesting. So I always like to compare like Web3 to Web2. So obviously you're around for the Web2 kind of like boom. Mm-hmm. Like what, like when that first, I guess, like hit your radar, right? Like this whole, the internet, right? Like the mm-hmm. information superhighway, right? Like what is your thought? Like, were you the first person, like, were you one of those people that was like, I don't see this thing? Or were you like, oh shit, this is going to be a thing?
So, you know, it's a good question. So I graduated from college in 1994 and just drove out here in literally, we spent the summer on the East Coast, drove out here. So we were out here in the fall of 94. The internet was getting going. I mean, we had email in college from 1990, 1994. I mean, they were trying to get us to use email, but nobody really used it. So there wasn't like any pressing need. By the time I got out here though, 94, 95, it was becoming very obvious that the internet was the future, but I had no experience in it. As I said, I was an accounting major. So I didn't really have that much interest in it. And it really wasn't until the late 90s that I set up a website for my screenwriting. It was basically just log lines and synopses of a bunch of the scripts that I had written. So it just became a tool to help me get these scripts out there. But it seemed like in the collective conscious of society at that point, everybody sort of knew that the internet was coming and it was the future and that sort of stuff. Truthfully, I don't know that I can say that with NFTs. I mean, it's or the crypto space in general, and I'm a big proponent of it, but I don't get quite the same feeling from it. It doesn't feel the same to me. The Web 2, or I guess that was really Web 1.0 at that point in 1995. Oh, yeah. And then even the Web 2 and the Web 3, it definitely feels different to me as someone who's lived through the different eras.
Interesting. So now, I just love this question because it's kind of just like one of those random ones. So like when the word just NFT kind of first hit your radar, like, again, does your bullshit meter go like start ringing off the line, or is it like, hold on, wait, no, we actually have something here. There's actually a use case. There's utility here. Like which guy were you?
We are leaning a little more towards skepticism. I mean, I think at the end of the day, I'm sort of a dreamer. I'm someone that's open to new ideas. So I never really poo-pooed it or was against it. Or as you say, my bullshit meter went up. But I didn't understand it. And actually my first real interaction with NFTs, I mean, now it's probably 3 years ago, 4 years ago. I had a friend who did a film called Killer Sofa, and he went and minted a bunch of NFTs for that film. And I don't know that he sold them, but he just did like 5 or 10 of them. And he sort of told me about it. And so, again, I don't know that I really understood it at that point, but I did start to understand that there might be some potential there. And so I didn't necessarily understood it, but it was sort of one of those things that I'd heard of. And so I was then at that point starting to kind of keep my ears open. You know, what is this going to do for the film industry? And just keep my ears open and start sort of learning a little bit. But I think I was sort of open to the idea from the start. I mean, it seemed like a cool thing. This crazy friend of mine,
really crazy film. It's a really fun film called Killer Sofa. And, you know, it's as crazy as it sounds about the sofa that, you know, comes to life and
killing people. So the NFTs were sort of a cool piece of that. And at the time, it was sort of, you know, his film was sort of niche, NFTs were niche. So it sort of, you know, made a good fit. But I didn't see at that point, because, you know, he did like 5 of these things and sold them for like $20. I didn't see it as, you know, how is this actually going to help filmmakers or fans for that matter? It's just the scale I just didn't quite understand. But I think fundamentally, I didn't really understand what NFTs were at that point.
Super interesting. So I heard you talking about, I thought this is actually super interesting. Like you were saying, basically in NFTs with film, like the idea was kind of that people were kind of like crowdfunding, but instead you actually kind of like this light bulb, like just kind of sensation went off and you were like, oh no, wait, no, people are actually going to want to collect actual clips or just actual just screenshots, right, of film. So like how did that, like when that came across your radar, like how was that for you?
Yeah. So again, it was really just kind of opening my ears and trying to figure out what was going on. About, I would say, a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years.
To TikTok. And so I was like, oh, I better check out TikTok. And I started getting a lot of crypto content through TikTok
and started really just learning through that. I was always fascinated by, I mean, I always remember back in 2013 when people were talking about Bitcoin and mining, it always sort of fascinated me, but I just never got into it. But that was sort of my real first introduction, was listening to these influencers on TikTok and start to get a handle on it that way. And then I just started thinking, okay, what is and how are NFTs going to intersect with films? So the first thing I did was just started Googling it and looking around at what other people are doing. And for the most part, it seems like so far the biggest sort of impact that the NFTs have had is people have sort of, you know, crowdfunded some films. They've sold a bunch of NFTs to produce their film. And while I mean, clearly this has worked, there's a number of use cases where people have actually done this. I just didn't fundamentally see how it was different than an Indiegogo or a Kickstarter or any of those types of platforms. You're just basically trying to pre-sell your movie. And really you're using your good name, assuming you have a good name and you have a following. That's what's really resting on this thing. But I didn't really see, as a film fan, I mean, I truly am a film fan. Like, I got into the film because I love films. I always loved films as a kid. And so I started thinking, like, what would I actually like as a, you know, a digital collectible from a film that I like. And that's sort of where the answer came from, was I remembered, again, going back to my own childhood as a film fan, me and my brother used to, I think back, yeah, this is, we're talking the 80s. I think it was like 10 cents or 25 cents. It was incredibly inexpensive, definitely less than a dollar. You could go to 7-Eleven and you could buy a pack of Star Wars cards, and there'd be a little dried out piece of gum and maybe 5 or 10 of these cards in there. And you would take them out, and they were scenes from the movies or not. Sometimes they were just sort of set up pictures, but they were just cool to collect. We would bring them to school. We would trade them with our friends, and you could flip at least some of them. You could flip over and there'd be like a little puzzle. So you would collect all of this certain collection in, and then you would create the puzzle on the back. And that was really just thinking about that experience myself, how I would want to use NFTs, how I would want to collect films. That's what sort of came up. It's like, I would love to own, I mean, Star Wars still is one of my favorite films. I would love to own an actual NFT of an actual frame from the original movie. And I had a guy on my own podcast where he had done he had minted, this was maybe a year ago, I had this guy on, and he had minted like 10 frames from his movie. It was a very artful done movie, and he was a real artist, really had a good visual eye. So his film was sort of visually stunning. And I asked him on my podcast, I said, well, why didn't you just mint everything into every frame into an NFT? And he sort of felt like, well, some of the frames were blurry and some of the frames, you know, didn't look as good as the other frames. And I, that's when it sort of hit me. I sort of thought, well, that's going to be sort of part of the fun for collectors is, you know, you could go in, you as an NFT collector, you can look at all the frames and you can decide which ones look blurry or which ones look good or not. And so I just felt like that could be a big part of the equation for the fans. It would just be a fun thing to try and pick out which are the ones. I mean, imagine if you had been the one that picked out that frame, the iconic frame of Jack Nicholson smashing, you know, through that door in The Shining. Like if you owned that iconic frame, yeah. But that's going to be part of the fun of all of this, in my opinion, is just, you know, we put out the frames, people can go through the movie frame by frame and pull out the ones that they think are cool, that you know, excite them. Maybe they have a collection with a certain actor, so they collect, you know, a frame from different films with this specific actor. Maybe they want to have a couple of frames of that actor in every scene of the film. You know, there's a million ways that I think collectors could sort of slice and dice this. And I just, again, I'm not here to like poo-poo anybody else's idea or things, but I don't see how pre-launching and launching a bunch of NFTs, I don't see how that really gives a lot of value to the film fan. I mean, it doesn't excite me if someone creates a bunch of art that's sort of loosely based on this film that they're going to make, and then they mint those into NFTs. Again, it might be cool. It could be just a cool piece of art, but it doesn't, as a film fan, it doesn't necessarily really get me excited.
That makes sense. So like I was telling you, Ashley, like, again, my favorite movie, like, mm-hmm. Let me go back a little bit, actually. So, like, again, when I just first even saw this, I'm like, no, like, come on, like, come on, NFT guys, we can't just turn everything into an NFT, right? And so, but then again, I think it out more, and I'm like, no, this is going to be something 1,000,000,000%, because again, me, like, when I think about like another movie that I'm not so fond of, like I don't give a shit to own that. Like, but then I think mm-hmm. about Superbad, which is my favorite movie. And I'm like, dude, I would own my favorite scenes. Like I would own like Jonah Hill. Like I just love it. Like, so this immediately mm-hmm. just, I just got this whole thing like, holy shit. And I'm like, dude, there's other like enthusiasts again, like you're talking about the Star Wars, these guys, they want any type of memorabilia they can get or collectible. Like they love mm-hmm. it no matter what. Like they want their hands on everything Star Wars. No matter what Star Wars puts out, they're gonna want their hands on it. Mm-hmm. So it like a complete light bulb moment, and I was like, oh yeah, this is definitely gonna be a thing too.
Yeah, and I think just using your super bad example, I mean, just think of just the fun that you would have with your friends. You would have these images, these frames from the film. You would show them to your friends, maybe trade them. You would talk about the movie. You would remember how funny this particular scene, you know, you would buy frames from your favorite scenes. I mean, it would just, again, that's part of what I think the collection experience was. That's what it was for me and my brother with these Star Wars cards. It was a way of sort of reliving the experience and just sort of paying homage to this film, and you become a part of the legacy. I mean, imagine if George Lucas, I mean, I was the one that actually went and minted these frames for the Rideshare Killer. Like literally I was the one sitting there minting them. So imagine if you owned a frame that George Lucas himself minted. I mean, you would literally be part of the legacy of the film. And the one thing that I, you know, I hope this doesn't, because I agree with you, is that eventually this is going to be a thing. Maybe I'm too far ahead of the curve, maybe not, but eventually there's going to be a thing. I hope places like Disney, they really tamper down, because one of the things that I think is going to be cool about this, if they really stick to the one of one idea that really to me is integral to NFTs, if they start releasing these sort of collections, you know, they have, they handpick some of the frames and they put out 1,000 of the same frame. I'm sure there's going to be, you know, as you say, there's Star Wars fans that are really into it, but keeping that sort of integrity of the one of one, to me, really just for the fans, gives them something very, very special. And they become a part of the film's legacy. They become a part of this whole process. They become a part of the filmmaking process. And, you know, potentially they could make money if they pick the right frames, they pick the right movies, potentially these things will go up in value.
100%. So now I'm kind of curious. This is something that I'm just thinking about off top. Like,
sure.
So I know, of course, we could buy specific frames, right? Maybe like a minute worth of frames, right? But like, what about just like a funny scene or just a clip of, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just like something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really. I haven't really thought that through, so I'm not really sure if we how that would work. But again, one of the things to me that seems so integral to NFTs, and we're already seeing people sort of break away from this, is this idea of one of one. And so, sure, I could have minted, I guess, the entire movie into one of one NFT, or I could have minted scenes or clips or anything else into NFTs. But again, I what is that, and who are you going to trade that with? I mean, it would be cool if there was only one, I guess, but you know, part of the thing that I think is fun with these is that there is an abundance of them. And so they're not going to be super expensive. I mean, these things are not, I mean, obviously for Star Wars, some of the high-end movies that really have a loyal fan base, yeah, they might get to $100 or $1,000, but these are not, you know, like the Bored Ape Yacht Club where they're going to be worth $96,000. I don't see it that way. I think it's going to be more about owning something. There's a lot of them, and it's an abundance, and they're a few dollars, you know, $5, $10, something that's very accessible to just the average person. I think, again, just fundamentally, I think that's part of what NFTs can do for film. So I don't know. Those are sort of my thoughts, but I haven't really thought that through, whether I would ever mint an entire scene or sequence into a NFT.
Interesting. Yeah. So I was actually just talking to my girlfriend about this and just trying to, like, just because I like to just, I guess, gauge opinions. Like, I'll put something out and just see, like, oh, like, well, what does she think about this? Or what is this something just so, like, no, like, just, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. So,
yeah,
I was talking to her and she's like, but I just don't understand. Like, I don't get, like, why somebody would want. And I think to me, again, it's like one of those things because, again, now, again, people, what they purchase, it kind of like represents them like a lot more. Like, it's just like, yeah, what people buy is like, it's what's, you know what I'm saying? Like they, and then like whatever, again, like a piece of artwork, right? Like that. And then again, it's not so the entire world can see. But again, when that one friend comes over, they're flexing their art piece, right? And that like kind of pulls them. So I think, again, with NFTs, like, again, your digital wallet is going to be everything that, quote, represents you. So again, like, the super bad example. Like, I'm just like, dude, like, I was telling her, like, Jalen, like, her name is Jalen. So I was like, Jalen, if I had this super bad, like, this again, just one, not even a clip, just like a frame, like we were talking about, over multiple clips or multiple frames, this would be something that I would, quote, flex. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would just be, I would just love to have in my catalog or whatever, right, of collections, amongst other, right, even like, again, song or music, or just whatever it is, right? So I think just on a more like macro just question, like, how do you think just in general, like, just NFTs are just changing the entire film industry?
So I think what we've done with Rideshare Killer is definitely going to be a big piece of it. Some of the other things that I've seen filmmakers start to do and is, you know, and I can totally see like Disney doing this, where you buy one of their, let's say, you know, new Marvel movie, you buy an NFT, and then you can log into their site and you can watch the movie. And so maybe you get one frame from the NFT and then you log in. So I think there's going to be a bunch of just technical things where, you know, which is, again, the promise of Web3, where you can log into different places, you control your own data, you have this ownership on the blockchain. It's not necessarily controlled by Disney, but Disney will have some sort of a portal where you can log in using your NFT credentials or your whatever, your Polygon credentials. You log in and then you can actually watch the movie. So I think there's all kinds of interesting things where you can do that sort of thing, just tying in the NFTs with just some sort of technical ways of owning the film. The other thing is, you know, I'm fascinated what Bored Ape Yacht Club has done with NFTs, and I'm curious to see what comes out of that. I mean, as a filmmaker myself, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, maybe I could make a film starring one of these Bored Ape apes. Mm-hmm. And I see something like that potentially working for a filmmaker, where maybe you're allowed to if you buy an NFT from a frame, maybe you're allowed to actually commercially exploit that frame. Maybe there's the image, maybe you can print t-shirts. I think these are some of the questions and some of the things that will sort of come out in the future. But what the Bored Ape Yacht Club did with sort of the rights and giving the rights to the individuals to go out and you really exploit those rights and make money from them. I think potentially that could be something where films could help as well, or could be tied in as well. If they have some ability to give rights to the NFT owners, and then those owners have the right maybe to print t-shirts or make toys. I don't know. I mean, again, I haven't really thought this through, but I think that there are some things in the future that will sort of tie in with some of these rights, some of the technical aspects. And then ultimately, you know, again, going back to just what I've done, where you're minting all of these frames, I think they're eventually, assuming this takes off, there'll be a whole cottage industry of that. There'll be conventions where people go with their NFT frames and they can, you know, show their friends and trade them. And so that's going to mean you're going to need an app. We need a real easy to use app on your phone where you can just, you know, quickly scroll through all of your NFTs and, you know, it can quickly access the blockchain and know what NFTs are you, and potentially you could just hold your phone up to somebody else's phone and do a quick trade with them. You know, those are the kinds of things that I see coming down the pikes, just to support all of these NFTs and how it works.
Interesting. So what about, like, what do you think about, like, utility within owning one of these frames?
Yeah. And as I said, I think the utility aspect is definitely going to be an important part. As I said, in some sort of a portal, logging in, maybe watching the movie, or just creating community. I mean, that's a big part of the NFT space, is sort of a community. So creating a community around your movie, maybe you can log in. I mean, again, these are sort of spitballing ideas at this point, but, you know, again, going back to Star Wars being one of my favorite films, you know, maybe there could be some sort of a sci-fi franchise with Star Wars. And again, again, if you buy one of these NFTs, it gives you access to this community. Maybe there's a Discord and maybe there's a forum and there's different things within that if you own one of these NFTs. Again, we're seeing that with like the Bored Ape Yacht Club. You know, there's other things that can go along with it. And I definitely think those things can be rolled out for the film industry as well. I mean, the community aspect is a big piece of this. And I think that will become increasingly a part of filmmakers' repertoire, is actually having a community. I mean, the way film has sort of always worked was the people behind the camera, even directors, which are pretty famous, you know, directors don't carry the same weight from film to film as, say, an actor does. And so if a direct, and as opposed to, say, a rock band, I mean, a rock band, it doesn't really matter if their new album is different from their second album. The fans of the first album will buy the second album. That doesn't necessarily happen in film. You know, I mean, there's some names like Steven Spielberg that are so famous. Yeah, sure. People will sort of follow those directors around. But just for the average sort of working director, he doesn't necessarily have a fan base himself. And again, I think this could be a way for him to start to open some of these up, interact with his communities, make have an NFT offering where he does build community around a film. And then he's more involved with those people, involved with that community. And so then when the next film, whether it be a sequel to the original film or even just another film, I think that's a chance, an opportunity for that director to bring some of those fans along onto his next film. And there's really never been anything quite like that in the film industry. And again, I think NFTs could be kind of the glue for that.
Super interesting. I like that, because again, like when I think about like utility with like, I guess, like a film, like I think it would just be super cool. Again, like you own this NFT, again, when the sequel come out, the part two or part three NFT, you can attend X, Y, and Z event and see these actors, or you get where I'm going. So
I think absolutely. Yeah, Gary V has that, you know, his Gary V friends or whatever, and he has his conference. You know, you own one of his NFTs, you get to go to his conference. Absolutely. I mean, I can see that there could be a premiere for one of these films. And if a director's really pulling his community along, if you own one of these NFTs, maybe you get to go to the premiere, you know, the premiere of the film. So exactly. I absolutely think that that's going to be a big, big piece of this.
I love that. Shout out Gary V. So now where I want to purchase some, I want to purchase the Rideshare Killer right now. Like how do I go about purchasing one of these NFTs?
Yeah, sure. So we have our own website, therideshare.com, and you just go to that and there's a link at the top that says NFTs, but it's just literally therideshare.com/NFTs. And then what we've done there is we've created a nice little layout page so you can cycle through all the frames. And we've done some just quick and easy ways of just displaying the frame. So if you go there, there's, I think, let's just say about 100 frames, and it's like one frame every 10,000 frames. So you can kind of see very loosely the entire movie laid out in about 100 frames. And so all you got to do is just click on one of those. We minted them all through Rarible, as I said, on the Polygon blockchain. So if you just want to actually buy one, you go to the website, you find the frame you want, you click on it, and then that's going to take you over to the Rarible page. And then on the Rarible page, you'll actually make the purchase. And then that's how, you know, you'll have your MetaMask wallet, blah, blah, blah. And that's how you actually make the purchase and push it into your wallet.
That's awesome, Ashley. Well, I really appreciate you for joining me today. Anybody want to reach out? Like, where can they find you at?
Yeah, sure. So as I mentioned, I do a weekly podcast. It's at sellingyourscreenplay.com, and I'm typically interviewing filmmakers, typically screenwriters. So definitely, if you think I have anything interesting to say, definitely check that out. You know, I'm on Twitter, and you can go to sellingyourscreenplay.com. You can see like Twitter, my Twitter and Facebook and all that sort of stuff. If you want to get in touch, I'm easy to get in touch with, info@sellingyourscreenplay.com. I still look at those emails and I try and answer every email. So if anybody has any question, and I don't mind too, we sort of discussed discuss this as well. I'm happy to do some sort of a giveaway with your listeners. If anybody emails me and they want to have a couple of these frames, we're happy to give some away just to start. And, you know, let's say the first 50 people from your podcast that email us, we're happy to give them frames just to get them out there and to start to get a little word of mouth going.
That's awesome, Ashley. Well, Ian, I really appreciate you for joining me today. Again, all those links will be in the just in the link or the bio below.
Perfect.
Just the show notes. Sorry about that. So yeah, everything will be down there, all the info. So again, Ashley, I really appreciate you for coming on today.
Hey, perfect, Jared. I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
Awesome. All righty, you have a good one.
You too. We'll talk to you later. Bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm a 90s baby. Lately, I've been going crazy. I've been going crazy lately. I've been going crazy, crazy. Yeah, people going crazy, crazy. Yeah, yeah. I've been getting paper, paper. Made a hole in without a motherfucking major label. Yeah, that light clock, you major. I just set a new set of foes on a new Mercedes.